Welcome to Public Policy This Week, a well-rounded weekly discussion of policy issues that frame today's American experience.
Good morning. It is Friday, January 6th, and you're listening to Public Policy This Week on KYMN Radio, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. My name is Rich Larson, and my co-host for today's show is Bruce Moreland, a vocal advocate in the Conservative Caucus for Climate Change. And by Conservative Caucus, I mean pretty much any conservative caucus you want to go find. Our show is dedicated to the honest, frank, and open discussion of public policy issues running the gamut from national and international topics to others that are very local. Today, we are going to discuss a topic that is both national, local, and maybe a little historical as well, as we discuss the former Rice County dump, which is now under the jurisdiction of the Environmental Protection Agency as part of the Comprehensive Environmental Response and Liability Act, better known as a Superfund site. Our guest today is Glenn Castor. He served two terms as a supervisor in Bridgewater Township and then stepped away in 2012. However, he was appointed back to the Board of Supervisors in 2018 and has since been reelected. Glenn also serves on the Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service Board of Directors, where he's currently the treasurer and chair of the Personnel Committee, although that might not be up-to-date information because there's an organizational meeting coming up in the next couple of days.
That's right.
Yep. In the next few days, we'll select maybe a new treasurer, a new chair, new leadership.
Well, it's what happens every year, right? Glenn has been a successful entrepreneur and is the former vice president of the Cyber Optics Corporation in Golden Valley. He's a graduate of Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania and spent 2 years in the United States Army. And Glenn, congratulations. You now also have the distinction of being the first two-time guest on Public Policy This Week.
Well, that's a wonderful distinction to have.
Thank you very much for being here.
I have to jump in and say that in the sense of leadership, I understand your name has been submitted to be a House Speaker.
I have no votes yet, but I'm hopeful.
You got my vote, Glenn. That's for sure. Yeah. That's for sure.
Indeed. Well, I'm going to start the story off today by telling a personal story about dumps. And in particular, I grew up visiting my grandfather's farm back in the day, and last century. And I remember the state-of-the-art dump that he had. And it was a pile of old tractor parts and appliances and beds and bikes and broken bottles and cans. And we played right there to see, because that was part of the background. And I remember the rare trip to the county dump. And again, it was a county dump where we kids would hope for treasures and, pile through the broken stuff while Dad was trying to empty stuff into the dump. And so nowadays I'm kind of accustomed to having my trash picked up and hauled away by magicians and having the landfill for bigger stuff like dressers and stuff like that. The Rice County dump fits on this spectrum somewhere. So,
okay. Before we talk about the Rice County dump, I think it would be a good idea if one or both of you guys could explain to our listeners, what is a Superfund site?
So a Superfund site is a site with toxic materials.
Okay.
That's what it comes down to.
Right. Okay.
And in this case, we're talking about the former Rice County dump, a place where things were collected. It could also be an industrial area.
Sure.
Like where
former manufacturing site.
That's right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think probably the most famous Superfund site is probably Love Canal.
I don't know if,
probably a lot of people, I'm dating myself here. A lot of people don't remember even Love Canal. In the 40s, 50s, 60s, into the 70s, there was just not a whole lot of regulation. If I'm understanding this right, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, when it came to where do companies dump their chemicals, and so the what is the Comprehensive Environmental Responsibility and Liability Act was put together. And that sort of oversee, that allows the EPA to oversee now these sites. Is that, do I have that right, Bruce?
That's reasonably so. Yeah. The thing about a Superfund site, I think, that is important to remember is back in the old days when we didn't think about a lot of things, mm-hmm. The solution to pollution was dilution.
Okay.
Right. So we've been used to dumping our tailings into the river and having it flow downstream. You might remember there was a big stink about Dundas dumping stuff into the river and Northfield having to put up with it for a while. But that was it. We dump stuff into the river, and when it goes out into the like the Gulf of Mexico or the that area and pollutes the water down there, it's out of sight, out of mind for us.
Right.
And so these Superfund sites, a lot of times, were the price we paid for having real advantage.
There's a wooded area that was a farm at one time, and the farmer had his own gravel pit that he dug. And then at some point, that roughly 1964, that started to be used as a dumping site, which was an advance. I mean, it was an improvement over what had been done before that,
sure,
which was drop stuff along the riverbanks, literally.
Right. Right.
Where there used to be an informal dump site where Walgreens is now.
Sure. Okay.
So this was a sort of a more structured, organized place, but it's on private property and run by a person who was also happened to be a county employee.
Okay.
So at the time, we had some companies operating here which used some fairly nasty chemicals.
Yes.
So that was Shell Dahl and 3M primarily.
Right, right.
So trucks would pick up 55-gallon drums full of stuff from those places, take it out, and it gets dumped into the gravel pit, and some dirt gets pushed over it.
And that's that.
That's that. But then there was also regular trash pickup in Northfield that started around that time. With garbage trucks coming around, as Bruce says, magically it disappears, and they would dump there.
Right.
So this went on for about 10 years.
Okay.
So 1974 is when the current Rice County landfill was opened, and this was, I'll say, informally closed. It was never a formal dump in the sense that Rice County permitted it or... Mm-hmm. The township permitted it or anything.
It just happened. Was. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And it was an improvement, as I said, over randomly dumping stuff along the river or just letting it sit.
Right. Right. So now this is located. You talk the gravel pit. This is located the gravel pit on Highway 3 in between Northfield and Faribault.
Right. It's just north of that.
Right. And so almost kind of across Highway 3 from where the current landfill is. No.
No. It's a little farther north.
A little farther north than that. Okay.
From that. But it's about 17 acres. It's an MPCA, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, Superfund site.
Yep.
They've put in about 12 monitoring wells, so the monitoring wells are keeping track of what's happening in the groundwater, because that's the issue with this. It's not fumes coming out.
Sure.
It's stuff in the water moving toward the river.
Which is ominous.
Yeah. Unpleasant.
Yes. Yes.
So these monitoring wells are read at least annually.
Okay.
And all the information's available online.
Do they, does the Pollution Control Agency, do they give you and Bridgewater Township a report of what's going on, or do you just have to do we have to go to the MPCA and figure out where we are with this stuff?
We can go online and look at the actual data.
Okay.
For what they find in the wells. Not being chemists, that's not very useful. Roughly in 2010, 2011, the township learned that the Department of Employment and Economic Development has a brownfield cleanup fund.
Okay.
the township also has money from the current landfill, gets money from the current landfill, which can be used for landfill cleanup.
Okay.
Remediation.
Sure.
Including this site.
Okay. All right.
So at that point, we sort of learned how this whole process works with MPCA and getting information.
Okay. And that was in 2010. That was just 12 years ago.
That's right.
All right.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right. As I told both of you guys before we started the show, I'm the guy today to ask the dumb questions. You guys are going to talk at the higher level, but I just need to make sure I understand all the fundamental stuff. So anyway, Bruce. Well,
I have driven through Gary, Indiana, and rolled up my windows when I went through, not wanting to breathe the fumes that were there. I'm glad to hear that there's no fume plume off of the Rice County dump, that I can drive down that road without having to roll up my windows and speed, right? The question would be, you mentioned the groundwater plume. Can you give us an idea of what some of the chemicals might be in there and how big it is and who's affected most directly?
Well, these are, I can tell you what the MPCA reports say. I'm not a chemist.
Right, that's enough.
But these are polyfluoroalkylides.
Oh.
So they break down into other chemicals. Some of them are known carcinogens. Some of them are classified as likely carcinogens.
Okay.
Right now, there's really one residence across three, Casey Betzel's place, which is affected by this.
Oh.
So I think in the around years ago, the MPCA put a filtering system in to that house. Steve Albers was the owner at the time. And his wife does understand all the chemistry, Kathy Larson. She's a scientist for the Metropolitan Council, now retired. So they put the filtering system in to take care of the plume.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in 2019, they discovered sort of one of the breakdown chemicals, which is dioxin, which is very toxic at higher levels than are permitted, much higher levels. So it's supposed to be one part per billion. It was probably 100 times that.
Wow.
So now the MPCA supplies bottled water to that household.
Oh, okay.
Because they can't effectively filter it.
Right.
So yeah. so that's the only household I know of that's directly affected.
Is there potential for other households to be affected as these chemicals sort of creep toward the river?
Probably one, maybe two others.
Okay.
But this is a largely agricultural area.
Sure.
They test wells from residences probably within a mile.
Mm-hmm.
All around, and have not found contaminants.
Okay. Another dumb question. The agricultural area with the chemicals in the soil, how does that affect the agriculture that is right there? I mean, are there farms there? Are people trying to grow things there? Do we know this?
So on the former dump site itself,
yeah,
which is about 17, 20 acres, there's no farming happening.
Okay.
And farming would not be allowed
right
on that the way it is right now.
Okay.
There are farms around it.
Yep.
There are wells that are tested.
Okay.
And they're not finding any
okay
pollutants moving
all right
toward those areas.
Right. Okay.
When we worked with the Department of Employment and Economic Development, the plan we came up with and that they suggested was capping the former dump with a clay cap rather than digging everything out.
Okay.
And moving it. And then it could be used as an industrial site as long as you're not digging down and
interesting
putting a basement in. And so
interesting.
Forth.
Okay.
So you could put a solar farm there. You could put a windmill there. You could put a trucking business.
Right.
Just those things.
Don't put anything below ground level.
Right.
Basically. Okay.
Right.
I wonder if I would even want to burn tree, you know, wood that had been from trees that were growing there, or if they would have brought some of that stuff back up.
I have no idea what they
I don't know either, but I'd be nervous if I was there.
Yeah.
I wanted to expand a little bit on that compromised well. I want the listeners to visualize three glasses of, you know, three canisters the size of your water heater lined up, feeding one into the next. And my understanding is when the worst of those three gets too filthy or polluted to use, you remove it, you move the other two over and stick a clean one at the end again. And the water that comes that, so you're always putting the cleanest one closest to the water supply or to the house.
Sure.
To the draw. And my understanding is you can't use that water for cooking or anything like that. That's why they have to get bottled water, but they are allowed to use it for washing and routine stuff. But I don't know if that's true. The point being, though, that they have three canisters and it still doesn't clean it up enough. These are these charcoal filters.
And that's part of the filtration system that you were talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what
I think I talked with Kathy about it, and she described to me this whole process of how they had to have three canisters and still couldn't drink the water. So
yeah,
all right. We talked about the containment or that plume. I have another story about the plume, and I probably have shared this with you, but when I was talking to the Northfield, when I was on the Climate Action Planning Advisory Board, and I was talking to the water department in Northfield, I asked them about that plume, and you know what their answer was? The plume is on the other side of the river. We don't care. They think the river will, once it reaches the river, it'll just go downstream to Lake Bilsby, like some other stuff has gone down to Lake Bilsby. But they don't think it'll cross the river to get to their water. Rich has got an astonished look on his face.
That is a troubling answer. We're not supposed to editorialize on this show, but that's a troubling answer. Yeah,
well, that was what I got out of the water department when I was asking him about.
Okay,
that.
Interesting. All right.
So one of the things I'll mention here is, we're talking about Superfund site, and clearly it's an undesirable situation. So forth. So both the U.S. government and the state of Minnesota have special funds set aside for cleaning up these sites.
Mm-hmm.
So in Minnesota, access is there's two really sources to access. One is the Department of Employment and Economic Development, which has a dedicated brownfield cleanup fund, and the other is the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Mm-hmm.
Which also has a cleanup fund. One of the things we discovered when we worked with the Department of Employment and Economic Development back in 2011-2012 was that their brownfield cleanup money goes only to counties or cities.
Oh.
So here we are as a township.
Right.
We had a candidate company to locate there if we can get the cleanup money and so forth. The problem was we needed the money to flow through a city.
Sure.
Either Northfield or the county, Rice County.
Has the county been open to working with you on this?
They weren't at the time, but they are now.
Okay.
So we have, a handshake agreement with the county.
Okay.
That if the opportunity comes up, the money would flow through the county. For the deed money, there's a 25% contribution required from the local government, which would be the township.
Sure.
And we have that money as a result of the funds that we get annually now from the Rice County landfill.
Okay.
So the township would be making up the 25%. Deed would be making up 75%. Okay. So that side of things could work.
And you, like you just said, you've got a candidate company that might want to actually put on, be on that site. So this could actually become...
That's one of the reasons we put this in our industrial area.
Gotcha.
So
okay. All right.
Now, the other complication I'll mention here is that the land is privately owned.
Oh, yeah.
So it's still owned by the family that operated it. The father operated it. He's long gone. But okay. So the deed money also comes with a restriction that the current owner of the property cannot profit
right
from the use of the deed funds.
Right. So the Superfund Act, the Comprehensive Environmental Response and Liability Act, that doesn't act like what's the governmental term when they just sort of take your land?
Eminent domain.
So it doesn't act under eminent domain or anything like that. The private property remains private property.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something I didn't realize.
That's right. So one thing that can happen is that the land could be purchased by the township or
by a Canada business.
And the MPCA will give a letter removing them from liability.
Okay.
So the MPCA legally or at this point has the right to go back to 3M or the successor to Sheldahl mm-hmm. and say, you need to pony up. Clean this up.
Right.
They've got many other things on their plate that are more recent and bigger. So that's unlikely to happen, I think.
Yeah, this is just 17 acres in the middle of a rural township that has little political power at the state level and even less at the federal level.
Well,
but we're working on it, Bruce.
We're working on it. I know. That's why we have you here. Can I take a break here to tell you that you are listening to Public Policy This Week on KYMN Radio, AM 1080 and FM 95.1, broadcasting from downtown Northfield, Minnesota. I'm Bruce Moreland, and alongside me is my co-host, Rich Larson, and we are talking with Supervisor Glenn Castor about the future of the Rice County Dump. So, we've talked a little bit about remediating the dump, and I know that there have been some really formal studies. Can you give us some ideas of what the strategies are for fixing the dump? I mean, why don't we just dig all that up and take it to the existing landfill and call it a day, let the landfill do what it's supposed to do?
Well, that's a very expensive solution.
Okay.
I mean, we're in 2011, the estimated cost of that solution was about $10 million.
Well, that...
when the reason...
Bridgewater Township doesn't just have that lying around?
neither really does Northfield or Rice County.
Right.
Yeah.
So part of the issue is... you don't just dig it up and take it over to the current landfill. You take it to a special landfill where it is all treated, typically some high-intensity burning. So you try to get rid of the chemicals, don't mm-hmm. just move them to another place.
Mm-hmm. So you're incinerating them at a high enough temperature that you're breaking down all those nasty chemicals.
That's right. So that's... drives the expense way up if you choose to dig it up. The alternative is to cap it, put a clay cap over it, and limit the kind of uses that land can be put to.
Okay.
And that in 2011 was about a $2 million solution.
Yeah, this might be a good point to point out the difference between a Rice County dump and the Rice County landfill. What does a landfill do differently that we trust them more with our garbage?
Well, I mean, the landfill is run very professionally.
The landfill is where the magicians live, right?
I mean,
with the dragons.
So the Rice County landfill, which is, again, off of Highway 3 on the way to Faribault, is managed by Rice County and overseen by the MPCA. They are very careful about what they put in there and what they... forced to go to other more appropriate sites if it's a problem with toxicity or anything else. The former Rice County dump was not managed at all. I mean, this wasn't a Rice, even though on the MPCA website it's called former Rice County dump, it wasn't managed by Rice County. It existed in Rice County.
Well, dump doesn't exactly sound like a formal term anyway.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's really a night and day type of situation.
I have to ask a question that takes a little dig here. I understand that have you ever seen a flyer from Northfield that said, you can move to Northfield, we have a dump?
Yes. Yeah, we actually have a copy of that. That's probably from the late 60s. And in my opinion, it was an improvement over the situation in Northfield 10 years before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When there was no local place, you dump your 55-gallon drum of whatever into the river and dilution.
Solution is dilution.
I mean, we're 60, 70 years on from that, but it's still kind of, it makes my skin crawl a little bit just to think about that. It's only 70 years ago, but it feels prehistoric.
Yeah.
It really does. And having grown up with Grandpa's dump in his backyard and having traveled to third world countries and seeing how not having good garbage disposal processes can lead to really ugly ditches. I mean, it's because that's where you dump stuff. And in fact, kind of talking off the script here, but I know that the $35 disposal fee for a washer or a dryer or whatever the county is charging is still pretty steep when you're so poor that you can't afford that. The ditch is an attractive place to put that. Has the township had a lot of experience with people using the ditches because they can't afford the landfill?
All townships have experience with people using the ditches, and here's a television set, and here's a bunch of bags with old diapers. I mean, it runs the gamut. The township has done, Bridgewater Township has done something constructive in that direction. So recently we had somebody move into the township from St. Paul. Bought the land. They tore down the house that was there, and they're going to build their own. And as they start digging, they find piles of old batteries.
Oh.
I mean, not like six, like 50.
Wow.
And old tires and bed springs, the gamut.
Yeah.
And, of course, some of the neighbors knew, that's been, people have dumped stuff there for years. No surprise. So
an archaeological dig.
You have to get a permit.
So right. The person who bought the land is taking loads of stuff to the landfill and paying extra for some of it to be processed. And so he asked the township, can you help me with some of this? And the township said yes. So we are paying. I mean, he's done now, and he's building his house. But there, I don't know how many loads went to the dump. It wouldn't surprise me if it was 20, 25
to the landfill.
To the landfill. Going to the landfill, and these are large trucks going. Yeah. This isn't a pickup load. So the township passed a resolution saying, you submit the landfill invoice to us and we will reimburse you as a way of encouraging people and avoiding the problem that you say, somebody inherits the family farm and there is the pile of old parts and old washing machines and so forth. You clean up, and it is expensive to haul that stuff away.
I found a really cool piece of antique glass in my backyard along what used to be the county road. And I'm suddenly wondering if there are treasures in that ditch. or
dig it up, Bruce, and find out.
Go ride a backhoe and see what happens.
Yeah. I think I'll the solution to some pollution is ignoring it. Not digging. All right. So the remediation then that you're thinking is most likely is to cap it with clay and keep the water. Because the problem is, correct me if I'm wrong, rainwater falls on the land, goes through that chemical sludge, and carries it into the water table.
That's right.
And so if you put a cap over the top...
you're greatly reducing...
You greatly reduce the rate.
Yeah.
So
the rate at which that plume moves.
Okay.
Because you're reducing the amount of water coming down and pushing it out.
Has the MPCA actually determined how much time we have before those chemicals reach the river? I'm putting you guys on the spot. I know
that's not in anything we've seen.
Okay.
In 2010, the township paid Landmark Environmental to do what's called a phase one study of that site. The MPCA had done that about a decade earlier also.
Okay.
And out of that study, there was some, I would call it almost guesswork.
Right.
As to what's going to happen there.
Yeah, okay. All right.
But no, we don't really have any quantitative information from the MPCA saying you expect this plume to reach the river in 2040 or...
Sure.
I'm curious, do we know how deep that plume is running? Is it basically surface water or, you know, groundwater as opposed to deep water?
I believe they do know that through the monitoring wells. And it is essentially the groundwater.
Right. Which is kind of the stuff above. I mean, we've got the Jordan Aquifer. We've got all these, we talk about all these aquifers, but there's this kind of layer above the aquifer levels, if you will, this...
The St. Peter
sandstone,
yes. For some people, that's where their well goes. For us at home, that's where our well goes. We don't go down to the Jordan.
Yeah. I think I go down to the... Well, I used to go down to the... And the problem was the water was so toxic with minerals, naturally occurring minerals.
So it's not toxic, but it has a lot of iron and a lot of manganese.
Right.
And in it. Which means you do need to filter it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't taste good. You don't feel good when you get out of the shower.
No,
you don't. No. And if you splash some of it on your car, you end up with a permanent...
Yeah.
I've seen that on one of my cars. Yeah.
Wow.
It just etched it. So anyway, let me see what we've got going here.
So the township's strategy at this point is... We've recently created a rural industrial zone, which includes this site, this Superfund site.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes it more likely that we will qualify for cleanup funds.
Okay.
Because some of these cleanup funds are tied through deed or tied to job creation or improving the tax base. We also have a handshake agreement with Rice County to act as the conduit for funds that would come in. We didn't have that before.
Right.
We're getting interest from companies in locating there. So I think the chances that over the next 5 years, 10 years, we will find somebody who is willing to, interested in taking that land because it's going to be inexpensive.
Uh-huh.
It's going to take some time to cap. They've got the time.
It sounds to me, and please tell me if I'm wrong, this situation is costing Bridgewater Township a fair amount of money, which surprises me because when we talk about the problem, we talk about Superfund. Right, which I mean, just based on the title, would think, oh, we got it. The federal government has a whole lot of money to pay to clean this stuff up, but that's not what you're describing to me. until something activates on that area, there just doesn't sound like there's a lot of money flowing to clean that stuff up. Am I wrong about this?
Well, you're wrong about part of it.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Great.
So this is not costing Bridgewater a lot of money.
That's good. Okay. That's
so good. We spent about $8,000 to have the phase one study done.
Okay.
And that was 2010, 2011. We haven't spent money on this since then.
Okay.
We have sitting in a bank account about $500,000, which is what has come over the years from the Rice County Landfill mm-hmm. Funds, the host fee fund, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And that money is restricted to be used for landfill remediation.
Okay.
And it can be used for remediation on this Superfund site.
Okay.
So if we need to contribute 10% or 20%, that's where it's coming from.
Okay.
And that's not really costing us money. I mean, that's money we can't use for anything else anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge here is really sort of the organizational complexity.
Yes.
Of dealing with the township, a governmental entity.
A couple of governmental entities.
A couple. A business, yeah. Which we need in the pipeline.
Right.
To activate things, as you said, and the landowner.
Yeah, private property.
Private
on top
property.
Of everything else.
So it invariably gets complicated as you move along here.
Right.
And difficult sometimes sort of to keep the gears meshing. People always have other things to pay attention to, and when you sort of run into a slow period with this, it tends to just kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
How does the current landowner feel about, I mean, it sounds like they've got a safety exit here. If they can sell the land to somebody, they get a letter that says they're not responsible anymore. How does that?
Well, the buyer would get the letter.
The buyer gets the letter that they're not responsible,
yeah.
But the seller doesn't get an escape
That's right.
clause. Oh.
So.
They are in a hard place.
The policy is that the landowner may not benefit from the cleanup of the land. Is that my understanding?
If it comes from government funds, right.
Right. Okay. So, but that landowner could still, I mean, sell the land for market value to this company or whatever, and then the company.
Well,
and the, I mean, I'm getting a little confused in the
yeah. So here's
here.
So the family very much wants this cleaned up.
Sure.
And the complication comes if they're going to sell the land, let's just say, to a trucking company.
Mm-hmm.
The trucking company gets an appraisal.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the appraisal is going to be for a toxic?
Not as high as what
so farmland is selling right now for $14,000-$15,000. Land in our industrial district is selling for let's say $40,000 an acre.
Okay.
This isn't going to be appraised at
no. Okay.
That
okay.
price.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Sometimes I just need to have this all laid out for
yeah.
me. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But once it is cleaned up in some fashion, there's some remediation done.
Mm-hmm.
The trucking company has used it for a decade, and they sell it. They can profit.
They can profit from it. Sure. From it. Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm gonna bring in my planning commissioner hat. As a planning commissioner for two local jurisdictions, and as a conservative, I find that I'm often the voice of the future ain't what it used to be. And this is kind of an example of that. In the old days, having a dump was an improvement over just having ditches. And now we've become even more aware, as Glenn pointed out, as we learn more, we become more cautious about some of our thinking. So the question is, I want to base my decision-making for public policy in facts, science, and data. But almost as important is to figure out how history can inform our thinking as we move into the future. So if you had been a township supervisor in the 50s who was aware of what we now know, in other words, if you had been on the leading edge of understanding pollution and what we were doing, how would you have tried to move the body politic? How would you have tried to approach getting that message into the thinking of the 1950s era state level and county level people?
Well, I mean, I think you sort of hit on it there, is that townships now and then had really little political pull.
Mm-hmm.
And something on this scale really does need to be managed at the level, probably at that time, of the county.
Sure.
I mean, Northfield at that time was probably, what, 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little town. Dundas is probably 500. They don't have all that much pull or resources either. So I think having an effect on this scale in those years would have really relied upon having a few county commissioners who saw the need for this.
Right.
And you also have other infrastructure that needs to happen. You need to have a company that has garbage trucks that's going to drive around and pick up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, because that's the problem is, do you think that in our, I mean, you're an active politician. Do you think that in our current environment we're missing things like dumps? Is there something that we're doing today that needs that kind of thinking and we're not doing it?
Well, sure.
Okay.
You're in the citizens' climate lobby. I mean, we're pumping stuff into the air at a rate that by 2030 will bring us to where we thought we would hope we would be in 2100. We're going to be there 50 to 70 years earlier. And it's going to be really a pretty unpleasant situation.
Well, you know, going off script again, the president just made some comments about immigration. And I'm going to be writing an op-ed that's going to point out that the real immigration problem isn't solved by fixing governments, because you can't fix the climate. And people, there's 1.2 billion people, an estimated 1.2 billion people that have to move. And when they're moving, that's not going to be a very pretty sight.
Yeah, yeah. So we're dealing with an unpleasant situation now.
Yeah.
It's going to get dramatically worse over the next decade. Weather is the same way. I mean, the storms we're seeing are gentle. They're causing huge amounts of damage.
Oh, I know it. What's happening in California is an example. Yeah. What's happening here, the snowfall that we just had, is unusual because basically an atmospheric river ran into the polar vortex right over Minnesota and dumped 2 feet of snow, or, you know, 15 inches of snow here.
So does Rich usually have this problem of keeping us on track?
No, I'm the one that takes us off track. Sorry. No,
actually, I really appreciate Bruce going off because what we're talking about is the bigger problem here.
Yes.
I mean, Superfund is
an example. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But it's a symptom of a much larger problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the show is public policy, which Indeed. Is why I try to drag us down to what are we going to do next.
Right.
So,
going back to the landfill issue and what do we do? Right now, the Rice County landfill, which we all use,
mm-hmm.
will probably close, is projected to close in about 20 years.
Okay.
And that's based on a statement from the current manager of the Rice County landfill. So maybe it gets stretched out 5 years or 10 years, but mm-hmm. it is going to close. And what's next?
Yeah, then what?
Is not clear. And what's next is not far away, really.
Right.
Twenty years to implement a new system is not much. You need to be starting pretty soon.
Right. And one of the problems we often have is we accept a solution that we can do easily, and we pat ourselves on the back and go on about our business. But we're now discovering that plastics recycling is really a big greenwash, mm-hmm. and that only 5%, maybe 5%, I'm making up a number from memory here, but only maybe 5% of plastic that's supposedly being recycled is actually being reused. And it's very hard to get that. You know, how many people do we have that are just religiously splitting their garbage into plastic and glass and paper and all over the country who are doing that when it's only really not, it's not very effective on the plastic side?
I would think most communities have gone to mixed-use recycling at this point. So, yeah, even if you are separating at this point, it's all going to get mixed back together, isn't it?
And then you're not going to be able to recycle the plastics.
Right.
Because they're either unusable or too contaminated. It's a tough fight. Mm-hmm. And the policy portion, like your experience with the Rice County dump, is that somebody's going to have to deal with it at some point.
Yeah, and I think the challenge, the public policy challenge, is to start dealing with it in a substantive way right now.
Right now.
As far as the Rice County landfill is concerned.
Sure.
And I look at the $500,000 that the township has in its remediation fund. My guess is we could justify using some of that toward figuring out what do we do in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Start right now.
So for people who are concerned about this kind of a thing, or who are hearing this show and thinking, oh man, we should maybe listen to Glenn and start doing something, thinking about this, they should contact their county commissioner, correct?
I'd say there's two things to do to really get something moving. Talk with the county commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
So Galen Malika.
Galen Malika, who represents Northfield.
That's right. And then come to Bridgewater Township meetings and say, we would like to see some of your remediation money used toward this end.
Okay.
So that simplifies things for the county commissioners. They have a source of funds,
right,
to get something going,
right,
and I think the township would be very receptive to that. So if you want to get things moving, Galen is a very effective person.
Yes, he is.
If he latches on to something,
yes, we've seen it happen.
The chances of him latching on are higher if you can say, "Here's where the money's coming from," and that's why to go to a Bridgewater a couple of meetings. And I'll point out that this. Something similar to this happened in about 2012, 2013, with regards to flooding. So the Spring Creek area in Northfield used to have tremendous flooding problems with modest rains.
Mm-hmm.
People's basements would have water because the water table is within about a foot of the surface there.
Yeah.
A lot of the water is coming from Spring Creek in Bridgewater, about two-thirds of the water, and another one-third is coming from Northfield Township. So we had a special meeting on what are we going to do about flooding in the township. We'd had 300-year floods over the couple of years. We have six people in the back whom we don't recognize. We come to the end of the meeting, and they're asked, you know, who are you and why are you here? And they get up and say, well, we're Spring Creek Neighborhood Association. We have this problem. The water's coming from you. You know, we've been to other governments around and nothing is happening.
Yeah.
And we were able to use that to get about $1.5 million in DNR funds to create a holding pond and sort of restructure some things along the waterway. We put in two holding ponds, and it made a tremendous difference.
Well, as a resident of the Spring Creek area, I would like to thank you for that.
Yeah. So something similar can happen here.
I mean,
it would happen eventually through the county, not through the township.
Okay.
That's the appropriate thing. And I think we, at this point, have a very competent and professional group managing the landfill, who would be quite receptive to saying, okay, let's look at what we do when when we have to wind this one down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's all about being willing to look at the consequences while you can do something about it rather than waiting until the water's in your basement.
That's right. That's right. And 10 years ahead of time is not too soon.
No, it's not.
It's a huge problem.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, conclusions?
Yeah.
I usually ask our guests at this point if there's any popular movie that gets across the point they've been trying to make. I can't imagine that there's a popular movie out there about dumps.
Well, there's Aaron Brockovich.
I was going to ask about that.
And Love Canal.
And Love Canal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So there you go. There's your movie for the week.
Did they make the right points? I mean, did Hollywood dilute those points too much or emphasize certain points too much?
I don't know. I was watching Julie Roberts. And,
I understand.
I kind of got distracted from the main points.
Oh, dear.
Well, All right.
Well, this has been a fantastic conversation.
It really has.
We're going to have you back. I'm sure. Unfortunately, we're out of time, and so we have to end our program. I want to thank you for the conversation and your thoughts this morning. Rich?
Glenn, thank you very much for being here. Bruce, thanks for putting all this together today. For all of you out there, we will be back next week on Public Policy This Week talking about state policies, Minnesota state policies, as they are applied to craft distilleries and craft breweries.
Yeah, guess who gets to be a co-host for the brewery school?
the guy from Wisconsin, of course.
Of course. All right, well, thank you for joining us today for Public Policy This Week. We'll be here again next Friday at 10 a.m. Have a fantastic Friday and a superb weekend. Enjoy that snow.
You've been listening to Public Policy This Week. Tune in every Friday morning at 10 a.m. for more conversation with policy experts. Remember, this show can be found on your favorite podcast platform or stream it from kymnradio.net.